You've all just heard a lot of information, and now we're going to open the floor up to any questions that you might have. So, Steve, if you'll run the mic. Questions or comments that you have about the building? 34 members. Okay. Thank you.
One thing that had come up, which I think the answer is no to, is there ADA access to the upper or the lower floors?
There is not.
Okay, so just to the main floor, so that is one
small
negative?
Yes, so. that is a negative that we have. We've talked a little bit with Dwayne Stein. He's the district representative. He's worked at putting chairlifts, multi-level chairlifts, not the kind that incline with stairs, but actually it's kind of like an open elevator in a sense that would help us to gain access, but that would be certainly something that we would still be a challenge of the building.
That's only for the lower level.
Yes, for the lower level. Yeah.
And the upper, right?
There's one kind of one room upstairs. Yeah, that would
mezzanine type
area. Just something that was I don't know if it was like well communicated on it when we were back when we were starting this process, I guess, and we were talking about two services. The research we did, because we were talking about should we do a second service during the week or like on a Saturday night or during like on a Sunday, and the feedback we were getting discouraging a second service was if we did it on a weeknight or a Saturday night. Like churches have done that in the past, and it was really kind of the pastor, people that had done it were saying it was taxing on their service. They had suggested if you're going to do a second service to do it on a Sunday, like it's two services on a Sunday. So that's just kind of what we were kind of debating, like if you know, because if whatever we built this service or if we would stay here, you know, to grow, it might have to look like something like two services here on it. Just because I know that was something that was really deliberated and discussed and prayed over and went back and forth about. But that was, just to clarify, that was the recommendations to not do it was on a different night because it was just kind of hard on your, it was taxing a lot of people on that. So just wanted to clarify on that. So
I just wanted to add a comment. This is the first year in all my years of CAC, I think, I don't know if we were at 16, 15 years that we've served and been part of the CAC community. I had never served on the worship team or the leadership team in any stretch of the imagination. But as I was nominated to become an elder and then began to sit in the meetings with the people and the team that God has chosen, when I used to get something as just a member, I only quickly saw it in a few minutes. I only saw a quick number. Sometimes maybe it made sense or didn't make sense, and then many times my judgment would be made on maybe just a simple idea I had. But now that I have served for however many months it is, I can tell you in all sincerity, I've never seen a team that God will put together that has so much talent in terms of numbers to structure with engineering mindset. We are very fortunate to have people that serve that are so talented in terms of understanding financial moves and the things it takes to lead a church into the future. So many times I say from a simple perspective, that which I feel I have, I've now begun to give not only a global perspective from what they've done and the time that they serve. This is a research process that's intensely researched and prayed about. So as I hope to encourage you from someone who's sat and listened and heard a lot, this is a process that takes time but has really moved forward. What I've seen in that is God opening doors and showing numbers that support, I want to move in your church and your community. So I don't know. I hope that sets anybody's mind at ease to understand that I'm very thankful to be serving with a group of people, men and women, that are talented in what they do. And I'm very confident in what the proposal was put forth.
Just as a small additional comment for me, I mean, this facility, I don't think it would be quite to the level of moving out of a school and into this facility, but I mean, I know I personally have torn these chairs down and set them up dozens of times in the last 9 years, and there's probably other people that have done it more than I have. To think, you know, to have a facility that we wouldn't have to do that, we could have, you know, a purpose a single-purpose room for possibly the youth, which we've never really had. We have the attic over in the other building, which is nice, but to have it in the same facility and things. So, I mean, my comment on the night of that we toured the building last Monday night was, I mean, I think if this building was $600,000, I would still probably vote yes that we should buy it because, I mean, it's just so – I mean, it's another blessing similar to when we got the building next door for 90,000 instead of 140, I think. So
for we're looking at $250,000 for this building, which is the same price that we paid for 9 years ago. Now, are we planning on listing it for higher than 250?
Yes.
Okay, but as a conservative estimate, we're looking to get 250.
Yes. Yeah. At the minimum, we would receive would be $250. That's what we are anticipating and hoping for. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a conservative model of what we're hoping to get.
Because we certainly want to account for appreciation and value over 9 years. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And we have as word has begun to spread a little bit in the community. There have been one current business owner in Hummelstown who is a member of the E-Free Church, and when he heard about our building potentially coming up for sale, he saw it as a great opportunity to maybe be closer to the city and to be on a street that has more traffic than he has in Hummelstown. So he's expressed some interest in our space. There was another community member who at one point had expressed interest in the building. And so we have been concerned or questioned, you know, this building is appealing to a niche market for sure. So there, you know, it could be someone could want it quickly, but there have already been a few people that have also expressed interest as well. Yes, to this building. Yes, business owners have looked at this building, yeah.
Have they put that building on the market yet back here?
No. They have listed their office building, okay. But they are not. They have kind of, because we've had discussions with the leadership team now for a while, they are not intending on putting it on the market unless if we would decide we are not interested in
it. And then you stated that it has the access for handicap on the first level, but is it going to be a priority if the purchase is done on that building for the fellowship level down below?
Yeah, that's certainly something that will be, you know, we will have a list, and we've already kind of begun compiling a list of projects that would be that we would like to have done on that building. And that's something that a few people have commented on during the walkthrough, and something that we had commented on, that a long-term answer to access downstairs as well is an important piece.
Can you talk about what we'll do for office space in that new building?
Yes, that's a great question. So because we will be selling our office space, the E-Free Church does not currently have offices located in that building. They own a building just along Derry Street here that is for sale right now. They had at one point converted their office space into nurseries right on the main level as you come into the door. And we don't know where we will put offices in that new facility yet, if we would purchase it. But the two places that seem to make the most sense logistically are either in that nursery space that's right on the main level, or above that, in that smaller second level, there would be space there to add a couple of offices. So it's an ongoing discussion that we've had. There are a lot of reasons why it's ideal to have the offices located right inside the main entrance. There's also a lot of reasons why it's ideal to have the nursery located right inside the main entrance. And so one of those pieces will not be there, but we don't know which one yet. But we would be converting current space in the building to office space.
I know that the mention was that we would get that building based on contingency of selling this building. And I know we would hope that this would go quickly, but what if it sits? And I know the church is not probably prepared to float two mortgages, and how long are they willing to wait on us to sell this property?
That's a good question. I can't give you a timeline for that specifically. I know that they do not have debt on that property, but they are certainly hoping to use the capital to help them purchase their new building. So if it would sit for long, it wouldn't surprise me if they would list their building. But we haven't actually discussed that with them. We've made it clear that whatever, if we would approach them with an offer, whatever offer we make would be contingent on the sale of this building. So they've kind of walked in with that understanding and have chosen to list their office building and to not list the church building at this time.
Not sure how much this matters or not, but just in case anyone is curious about this, I was there in their service this morning. I went to most of their first service before coming here. And I will say that as Jody and I were sitting there, it did feel a lot like this, just in a bit bigger room. You know, the whole kind of atmosphere around the service, the way things were set up, the way the band was on stage, it just kind of felt like being at CAC, just in a bit of a bigger room. So it's not like going to some churches where the layout's totally different, it feels totally different, it feels strange, and it really did kind of have a comfort level that kind of surprised me as I was sitting there. So just for whatever that's worth, I just want to throw that out there.
I was fortunate to be on the leadership team when we didn't get that other building across the street here, and then we did the year after, and I remember how deflated we were. This is on Tiffany's comment. And I remember how deflated we were, but I think God allowed us to feel deflated like that so he could bless us with that building later on. So you know what? If this building doesn't sell, then it's God's will, and then he has something else better for us, so...
What is this church financed at now? What's the interest rate?
That's on the slides, Kevin's first financial slide.
One is at 7 and one is at 5 something.
So do you think it's realistic to get 5% again, or is what do you think?
We've gotten two estimates from the two. We hold the mortgages on these properties with two different banks. One is Centric, and is the other one M&T? S&T, and they've given us estimates at 5.1% and 5.3% on commercial mortgage rates.
Well, considering the $5,000 that we're spending on the flood insurance, and if we do get it at, say, the 5.1, that's about another $200, so that's almost $12,000 plus a year that we're not spending at this footprint.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, and that's where Kevin, so like Todd mentioned, Kevin has been working, and Kevin and Steve worked some on the Excel kind of part of the presentation. And the first time we saw that as a leadership team was in January. So it's something that has been tweaked over time. Initially, we set that at 7%, and then as we heard some estimates, we were able to lower it some. But we still thought putting it at 5.5 would be conservative to what we'd actually receive. That's our hope, at least.
I was just going to say, Scott said we could say comments or questions, and I was just going to comment. When we moved here, we were wanting to be in a community, and there's so many people that have fallen in love with Lawton. They love being able to serve the firehouse. They love being able to serve at the school, and they've made a lot of connections with the school. God is so cool. How amazing is it that we've had an opportunity to move to another building, but to be able to stay in the exact community where we've gotten to build relationships that don't come easy. It takes time, and I just think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I agree. That's a pretty, it's pretty wild that it's just three blocks away, that the building opened up and that they kind of knew that we were invested in the Lawton community. And that certainly, as we talked, was one of the main perks of the idea of moving.
To add to that cool thing, to Sandra, is the fact that without knowing the future, except God knew the future, that our pastor lives right next door to this church.
Yes, yeah.
And we all joke that, you know, as John said, how lazy can you be?
But yeah.
I just truly feel that was totally a God thing.
Yeah, the house that we purchased was at one point the parsonage for the church building.
We'll be parking on your lawn. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll include it in the grass mowing schedule.
I would just like to say, after being on the leadership team for a little while, it's amazing that God has brought this opportunity to us, and you couldn't build or buy another piece of ground or build another building for what we're getting here. And I just think it's a great opportunity to grow, and that's what we've talked about, how can we get our church to grow. And I think this is the answer to God's prayers. So.
A couple of things. Linda made me think of something that was really good. When we talked about originally getting a different building, like, it was a very realistic estimate that to build a building on a piece of property that could hold that size building, which is about what we were talking about 10,000 square feet, mm-hmm. it was going to be about between $1.25 million and $1.5 million to do something new. So this is amazing that we can do it that way. So, and I will say, since I work with Dwayne Stein, he said that this is one of the best preparations for a transition that he's seen in our 3 years on the job. And he deals with that stuff all the time. It's really well done. And he said it's also very conservative. So even at the conservative thing, in his mind, it's a no-brainer. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's a comment that Steve and some others had made several times was about just the value of the building we would get at the price that they're asking. It is something that that we would not be able to do if it was new construction. And we wouldn't be able to stay in this area if it was new construction.
What is their anticipated time of moving out?
Their ideal timeline would be to do a fall kickoff in their new building. So sometime in the fall. Now, you know, they understand for that to happen, their office building, which they have had several offers on, that they were anticipating that could be up on the market for a long time. It is just a unique or awkward space commercially. And it has there's a drainage issue that has like a minivan-sized sinkhole in their parking lot. And so they anticipated that would be difficult to move. And, you know, they know that any offer we make is contingent upon the sale of this building. And so they, in an ideal world, they would like for this fall for a kickoff to happen in the new buildings. Yeah. Did anyone on the active membership not receive a ballot from Michelle? I will say that when I asked Kevin, I'll back up. I will say that I struggle to get Excel sheets to add when I'm formulating them. And so I was expecting like 6 or 8 blocks on an Excel sheet. And then when Kevin gave us the presentation, I was blown away by what he's able to do with Excel. So, yeah, it was pretty impressive right from the beginning, and he's continued to tweak that throughout. Yes, at the end of discussion, we will need a motion. So I'm seeing if there are any more questions or comments, and then we'll call for that. All right. I will ask the question then. Do we have a motion to receive this proposal?
A motion.
Do we have a second? The motion is before you and has been seconded. So right now we will vote by ballot. And then when you have voted, if you could just hold your ballot up, Kelly and Michelle will be collecting those. You all can go. As they are confirming the number of ballots and as we're they'll be counting the ballots. Just to quickly highlight for you, there's other news as well today. And we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, but it was several years ago when Alan was still the pastor here that we were approved by the district for a $50,000 grant to be used towards funding a second staff position for our church. And so that grant was approved, and then we went through a process where we've been in this kind of season of transition over the last several years. And so that whole process about an assistant pastor was put on hold during that time. But it was also this past January in our leadership team retreat that we began talking about some of the priorities of our church ministry over the next several years. And one of the things that we discussed that became really clear during that time is that we need to be a church that is seeking to reach, to disciple, and to include in service and leadership the next generation. Kind of, if you were here last Sunday, the idea of investing in the next generation and leaving a legacy in that regard is something that is important to us and is going to become increasingly important to us over the next several years. And so we began to explore what it would look like to craft a position that would address those needs, and kind of how we have been looking and what we've been pursuing is to do that in partnership with the Coalition for Christian Outreach. Lots of you are familiar about that through Brandon's updates that he has provided for us over the last year. But the CCO is a parachurch organization, and so they partner with churches or Christian universities, and what they set up is basically a staff position where a church or a college will pay half of an employee's salary, where they will raise half of their salary, and then where the CCO will provide benefits and some expenses, ministry expenses and reimbursement for them. And so we've been talking with the CCO about this process and what it would look like to have a position here. And it would essentially be a way for us to add a full-time staff person that would work with our youth, that would work with college students in the area outside the church and work with young adults in our church and outside of our church. It would be a way for us to add a position to do those things for a price of approximately $23,000 per year. So it really for us is the most economically feasible way for us to add another staff person. And so as we discussed this idea, we went to the district office and said, we know you had approved a $50,000 grant for us towards this. Is that something that is still available to us? And they reaffirmed that for us in their May meeting. And so what they've done is set up a plan to distribute $50,000 to us over the course of 4 years instead of over the course of 3 years. And so, if John, if you'll show the next slide, you can see kind of the economic impact that would have on us, again, is something that would grow slowly over the next 5 years. If someone began in that position, hypothetically, as early as this fall, then it would create, in that first year, it would create $5,000 of an additional expense for us. So we wanted to let you know that position is not set in stone yet, but that's another exciting piece that we're working on as the leadership team right now, and to give you an update and let you know that we have been approved for that $50,000 grant, or reapproved for that $50,000 grant from the district office. So that's another piece of news for us to celebrate. John, do you have the totals? The teller report is that 34, that is a unanimous vote. So, yeah. So we're going to pause for a minute because this is a big moment for us as a church, and we're going to pray. God, we thank you for your sense of direction. We thank you for your sense of guidance. We thank you for the way that we can look at what's taken place over the last few years and see your hand working among us. God, we ask that as we seek to proceed with this process of selling our properties and purchasing this new property, that you would continue to guide us. We pray that as we acknowledge you, that you would make our paths straight, that you would remove obstacles that might come up in regards to the sale of buildings or maintenance issues in our buildings or in the E3 building. We pray that you would remove obstacles of timing circumstances that can come up when we're looking to sell and purchase properties. We pray that you would remove obstacles in any of those logistical issues that can arise. And we ask that we would continue to be people who are seeking to be faithful in creating disciples and reaching the next generation. God, we ask that you would be at work in our hearts and in the life of our congregation. God, we recognize and we thank you for the legacy of that work that we were able to hear about this morning and reflect on, for the legacy of that work as we think about the history of our time in this building and in this community. And we're excited about the opportunity that we have to move forward and to celebrate new victories. So God, we ask for your hand of blessing and guidance throughout this process. And we thank you for this sense of unity in your spirit. We love you. Amen. Amen. All right. So with that, I will ask for an official motion to close our meeting. So moved. Do we have a second? All in favor, say aye. I'll call that unanimous as well. So thank you all very much. And again, we will keep you updated all along this process as we continue to make progress.